Pathreport.com. I'm your publisher, Chris Patrick, with the Path Report. Be sure to stay on the path.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say,
everybody, let's celebrate.
Look like it's gonna be a lovely day. Come on,
everybody, let's celebrate.
Forget the worries, throw your problems away. Come on,
everybody, let's celebrate.
Smiles, 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 smiles.
Everybody, let's celebrate. Everybody, let's celebrate.
Hello and welcome to the Village Celebration, everyone. I'm Vicki Newton. So glad you are with us. As you know, the country is divided along a number of issues. Politics, of course, is the one that comes immediately to mind these days, and we will discuss that later in the show, what's going on in the Trump administration. But first, there is also the enduring matter of race that continues to divide. Let's imagine that it is 1856, before the Civil War. Enslaved people who escaped often did so by way of the Underground Railroad. That was a northern route to freedom. But for those who were living in Missouri and looking to get to a free state, there was always Kansas. We are joined now by Trish Schurkamp of the Wyandotte County Historical Museum to tell us about the route through Kansas to freedom for those who were enslaved. Trish, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's called the Quindaro Ruins. Tell us exactly what the Quindaro Ruins are and the town of Quindaro, what it represented in 1856 and in that era.
Well, Quindaro was actually the Quindaro town site. It was the town of Quindaro in which was established right along the Missouri River. And it, primarily, it was to fight the idea of slavery. It was an anti-slavery town. And it allowed the slaves from the Parkville area and the Platte City area or Platte County area to come across and have a safe haven in what was then Quindaro. Quindaro was actually established, as you said, is in 1856 with beginnings in 1857. The first building started going up immediately in January. And it became very important, a part of the New England Immigrant Aid Company, which helped Kansas to secure itself as a free society and would actually also help in getting people to move to Quindaro, getting them there and securing the right folks to help with the idea of making this Kansas an anti-slavery state.
I think this is such a rich story, especially during this month, Black History Month. So mm-hmm. Let me make sure I understand. A group of New Englanders headed to the Midwest with the idea of setting up a safe haven for enslaved people who wanted their freedom.
Right, exactly. The idea was that the New England Aid Immigrant Aid Company, which was in place and had been for several years, was assisting people to come here to Quindaro with the intention of keeping Kansas from becoming a slave. Missouri was pro-slavery and came in as a slave state. Kansas was still a territory at that time. So the idea of establishing Quindaro prior to, we would not become a state until 1861. So Quindaro was established prior to Kansas actually becoming a state.
So Quindaro, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and actually was established to, Quindaro was established to fight the whole idea of slavery and was to fight from Kansas going into a slave state.
So it was the line in the sand for abolitionists.
Yes, it really truly was. It was established right there on the Missouri River, right across from Parkville, where slaves would escape and come across the river and hide in Quindaro. there's, you know, stories from one of the newspaper writers that was with the Shenandoah, and she helped hide slaves. She was part of the Underground Railroad here in what was then Quindaro. And she writes about her experience and having someone come to her door and say, you know, we have this slave, Caroline, that we need to hide. Mm. Her master is right here and looking for her, and there's a group of men looking for her. And so immediately she took Caroline in, put her in a cistern, mm-hmm. gave her, you know, bedding and comforters and things to keep her warm, and hid her in the cistern until it was safe, and then pulled her out and sent her on down through the railroad system.
I cannot imagine that type of courage, the courage it took to escape, and also the courage mm-hmm. to bring in those who posed danger by their quest for freedom, being willing to risk as well.
Right. And I think the name Quindaro in itself shows that strength. Mm-hmm. Quindaro is supposed to be, is the name of the woman, the Wyandotte woman that her husband named it after her. So Quindaro Nancy Brown. And Quindaro by the Wyandottes is bundle of sticks, meaning as a bundle, mm-hmm. you can work together to accomplish mm-hmm. something. As a group, you can work together. And that's the belief in the name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So today, if you come to the area to visit, what do you see? What's left of Quindaro?
Right. We recently, the Unified Government and several of the different organizations there in the Quindaro area worked together to put an overlook there. So now you can actually go there. It's a beautiful little overlook. You can look down across and see the river and see the town site itself. There's a few little walls and such that's still there, but most of it is gone. But there's a good representation at the overlook of what it looked like and how it was established. It was very prosperous at one time. It was considered to be the crowning glory, actually, and was to assumed that it would go on even after the Civil War and become this very wonderful, rich, vibrant community. And unfortunately, the Civil War would end because of overpricing of the land, and they didn't take into consideration that once the Civil War started, their mission was no longer, mm-hmm. you know, their mission was finished. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't exactly step up and find a new mission to seal that town. Mm-hmm. But the overlook gives you such pride and allows you to see. And I mean, I know for myself to stand there and look at the river and realize that people came across there, mm-hmm. people who were scared, people who may have been their last chance to freedom.
Absolutely.
And they knew that if they could just get across that river, there was a town waiting for them and a group of people waiting for them to hide them and protect them and move them on down the railroad system.
You know, I imagine as the word of the town spread, there was great excitement tempered by the fear, but like you say, just the idea that on the other side of that river, mm-hmm. I can be my own person. I can have some agency over my life. You make a good point that their success actually set the stage for the demise of Quindaro. So basically what happened?
Yeah. Well, what ended up happening, because they had overpriced themselves and oversold, they ended up being incorporated into Kansas City, Kansas. So it has been a part of Kansas City, Kansas. Then much later, back in the 1980s, there was a possible landfill that was going to be built there. Well, whenever you're going to do that, of course, you're going to have to do different types of looking at the land and seeing how it was used and what you're using it for. When they did the archaeological dig, things started popping up, and they realized how rich and important that community was, and it was saved instead of destroyed by a landfill.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you can actually visit the museum and mm-hmm. see some of the artifacts from the
right,
city?
Right, right. Yeah, we actually have information on Quindaro. Some of the artifacts are here. We also are fortunate to have the state and the, you know, our state historical society, and they preserve and protect. And there's a wonderful agreement in place in which if we and when we do special exhibits on Quindaro, we're able to go up there and get those artifacts and bring them back for our people here to be able to see them and experience them.
Any idea how many enslaved people crossed the Missouri River into Quindaro?
Yeah, that's the problem. Unfortunately, there is no record of that kept. Mm-hmm. And most people didn't write about it until after the Civil War. There's no way that we can tell how many passed mm-hmm. through. Mm-hmm. There just isn't any records. The Underground Railroad, and unfortunately, young kids, when we say the Underground Railroad, they immediately think of a real railroad.
Sure.
It was a system in which was in place that allowed slaves to pass from one safe place to another safe place until they got to that area in which they knew that they could work for their freedom, be free. So that it wasn't a true railroad in that sense. So there was no accounting as to how many may pass through this area mm-hmm. or what we have in that respect. But we do know that several did, and we do know that some actually stayed. And Quindaro became an area for the freedmen afterward. There was a school there, a university there that was placed after Quindaro fell. And actually, when I say it fell, when it was no longer a town, mm-hmm. but it's still Quindaro. To this day, people, when you say Quindaro, they know that's from Wyandotte County. They know exactly the area you're talking about because mm-hmm. it still keeps its rich history.
It is such rich history. It's one of those towns along a waterway that mm-hmm. helped a lot of enslaved people start new lives.
Right. And one of the things we often think about, and, you know, we say border wars and along the border, thinking mm-hmm. of Missouri and Kansas, in actuality, it was here within our own community itself. There was a separation line of right here in what was Kansas or what would become Kansas between Quindaro and Wyandotte City. Wyandotte City was considered a slave or pro-slavery, and Quindaro was considered anti-slavery. And we're talking a road, State Avenue, what's one of our popular roads. We're talking about a simple area that divides, and now we travel every day. Mm-hmm. And that was a division that close. They were burning each other's churches. They were angry with each other. So border war was a road, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. not necessarily a river
no.
or a Missouri versus Kansas.
You're right. In some towns, and even today, there are some places where there's a bit of a dividing line, and everyone in the city knows what that dividing line is. So to live in Quindaro really took mm-hmm. some guts.
Yes, yes. You made it quite clear that you were anti-slavery and you were trapped between your landlocked mm-hmm. on one side with Wyandotte City, and then you had the river on the other side, and you had the whole state of Missouri on the other side, which was slavery. And so Quindaro, a little bitty town, fought with all types of anger and fought like a lion to preserve its people and the people that were important to what we now have as a nation.
Thank you so much for joining us to share the story of the Quindaro ruins. We hear all the time about the Underground Railroad, mm-hmm. and Quindaro ruins played a significant role, as you just said. Also, for more information, where can we visit? What's
sure.
the web address?
For more information, you can certainly contact us at the Wyandotte County Museum and Historical Museum, and that number is 913-573-5002. We will be glad to put you in touch with some of the great museums that are actually down in that area.
Trish Schurkamp from the Wyandotte County Historical Museum joining us with a little-known Black history story and a significant piece of American history. We'll be right back with more of the Village Celebration.
Thank you. tired of the same old fast food? Let Mrs. T's and Dora's House take you on a taste down memory lane with such goodies as the Singing Center Burger, the Wing Ding Basket, and of course on Sundays, let's not forget, we call it Soul Food Sunday. Located at 2601 Springer Boulevard in Little Rock, Arkansas, Mrs. T's and Dora's House has all the great goodies you expect. In a hurry? Call in orders at 501-904-5309 or just walk in. Whether it's lunch or dinner, Mrs. T's and Dora's House has something to tickle your taste buds. Come on by. That's Mrs. T's and Dora's House, located at 2601 Springer Boulevard, or call 501-904-5309. That's 501-904-5309. That's Mrs. T's and Dora's House, where love is the main ingredient. Man, I feel fantastic tonight.
Hey, what's your number?
Wow, didn't know I still had it. But you know what? I'm married.
No, not your phone number. I'm interested in your health. What is your cholesterol number?
My what?
Your cholesterol is a type of fat found in your blood that can put you at risk for heart disease or stroke. There are two types.
Why should I care? I mean, I feel great.
High cholesterol doesn't make you feel bad, but it can kill you. Heart disease is the number one killer in Arkansas and the U.S. Keeping your levels healthy is the first step at living longer.
You know what? I definitely want to be around to see my kids graduate.
Ask someone you love, what's your number?
Your health should be your priority. Take control. Go see your doctor and ask, what's your number? This message is brought to you by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission.
Ladies and gentlemen, the intimate realm. A one-day worship symposium with Pastor Rod Lumpkin.
So Lord, our prayers that you will keep us ever before.
And Amante Lacy.
Your Majesty, Lord, we believe.
Saturday, February 25th from 10 till 2 with evening worships at well. Of course, at In His Presence Ministries.
When all else has been said, Jesus.
4700 South Bowman Road in Little Rock. Call today for more information at 501-246-3305. February 25th, it's a Saturday, beginning at 10 a.m. Come to the Intimate Realm for a one-day worship symposium. Pastor Kevin Riley invites you to experience Pastor Rod Lumpkin and Amante Lacy. That's Saturday, February 25th at In His Presence Ministries, 4700 South Bowman Road in Little Rock, or go to ihpwm.org.
So glad you've joined us for the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. All around the country, actually the world, the conversation is about the Trump administration, President Donald Trump, and the Russian shenanigans. Let's just start there and we can move the conversation from that point. We are joined by Henry Brooks, who is an instructor at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, teaching political science. And have you, in all of your career, seen anything like this, what's happening in the nation's capital?
I don't think anyone has. I mean, it's on the level of uncertainty about what the president's going to do is unprecedented. I mean, he's I hate to use the word loose cannon, unpredictable. We knew that coming out of the campaign, but some of the things that he's done have been so unorthodox that it's made people even more uncertain about what his next move may be.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. During the campaign, that mm-hmm. seemed to work well for him, mm-hmm. particularly with his supporters. There's no way to know really what they think, but do you think this will grow old, even with his supporters, this volatility? Or do they still think that makes him qualified to lead the country?
Donald Trump is a marketing businessman. I mean, he understands how to market himself, how to sell himself, which some people have said that he's on a perpetual campaign. And so that's why he keeps the rhetoric so hostile. He likes that environment because it gives him room to not have to address particular policy issues. And plus, I don't think he's prepared himself to be able to handle those policy issues. Take, for instance, the staffing of the federal government. He's got thousands of positions that he has to appoint, and many people say that he wasn't ready to win. He wasn't prepared to win, and so he didn't prepare to staff those positions. Also, with his appointments, a lot of his appointments, because they are so financially secure, many billionaires he's appointed, their financials are tricky. And so what they do is when they vet these people, just like someone going to get a security clearance for a government job, they're not looking at your credit rating to make sure that you don't necessarily overspend or on a government credit card. They're looking to see whether you have something that a individual or a foreign government can use to blackmail you if you're in a compromising position. And so going through the financials of a billionaire is complicated because you have to ascertain whether they have dealings with certain business interests, certain government interests. And so the Trump administration they slow walked a lot of that paperwork through the Ethics Commission and through Congress. And so they haven't really had time to vet them. And now he's saying, hurry up, we need these people vetted. But that's not the way it works. And
we're not even sure, though, that he's been vetted financially because he never released his tax returns.
He hasn't. And that's kind of becoming the new normal. If he hasn't done it, he said he wasn't going to do it. I believe his spokesperson, Kellyanne Conway, made the statement that he hasn't done it and no one cares. Now, of course,
I think people care.
People
now.
Still do care. But
I think they are starting to see why they should care. If they didn't care, maybe exactly. They're starting to see why they should.
Well, I think that the point in that, her saying that is, and a lot of what they say and do is about, let's get in front of the story. Let's frame the issue the way we want, way we want it to be discussed. And that way, a lot of people who don't take time to vet the issues and do their research will start at that point. Mm-hmm. And so they'll say something that is of questionable truth, to be kind. And
that's
then,
an alternative fact.
The alternative facts.
They'll use some alternative facts.
And then they'll start the conversation there, and then they'll start to discuss how this is true. And a lot of people who don't take time to listen, they find themselves in this bubble, and they don't look outside that bubble for to compare information, and they take it as a fact.
And then there's his foil, the media.
Mm.
Blame it on the media.
Media's the enemy.
According to Stephen Miller, one of his senior advisors.
It's because they fact-checked him. I mean, they are constantly asking questions because it's their job. It's their job to dig and dig. And no president likes constant badgering from the media, but that's the media's job. That's why we are supposed to have a free media in a free society.
Protected by the Constitution.
Protected by the Constitution because they are there to get at least what they can see or what they can dig out in terms of facts, and then let the people make their own minds up about what the truth is. And so
Absolutely. He
doesn't want that because he comes from a place of power and control as a CEO of a company. You often hear people say business should be run like a company. Government should be run like a company. We need to run government like a company. Mm-hmm. And that's, we absolutely should not.
Because it's not a company.
It's not a company. The motives for policy are much different than a company would be. But that has been, matter of fact, not only Trump, but his entire administration, most of his administration is either business or military. And, there's not a lot of compromise in those two areas. You know, the generals that he's appointed, and like I said, I don't necessarily have a problem with all of his appointees, but some of he's appointed generals who don't necessarily have a lot of people questioning, their directives. And then CEOs of companies who also don't have a lot of people questioning their directives. So they don't understand how to melt politics and bureaucracy together as someone who has been in public service before. So it's a learning curve for them. Unfortunately, they say if we're on a plane and the pilot has to learn how to fly, you really don't necessarily want to be on that plane.
Well, and this is not necessarily the country you want to learn how to govern on. I mean, it's the superpower. So you really need to have had your dance lessons
exactly.
By the time you get to the White House. It's ugly.
It's ugly and it's frightening in some ways. Mm-hmm. it's frightening enough when you have a president. I mean, I remember when Barack Obama was elected. I mean, he had worked in the state senate in Illinois, and he had been a community organizer, and he'd been a professor of law at University of Chicago, and then he'd been a U.S. senator for a very short period of time. And even then, I was a bit concerned about his inexperience in being an elected official.
Mm-hmm, because there was a lot of talk about that.
Exactly. They were saying this guy's inexperienced. Mm-hmm. He doesn't understand how this works. He hasn't had time to build alliances with members of Congress. And so that's going to be a very contentious relationship between Congress and the presidency, those two branches. But he made prudent decisions, even if you disagree with his policy. He surrounded himself with people who understood how government worked. And that's something we're not getting from Trump. He surrounded himself with people who are loyal to him, because that's much more valuable to him than actually understanding how to do your job.
When we come back, let's talk about an issue that you raised implicitly: intellect and stability.
Okay.
In terms of prudent decisions.
Yes.
And the intelligence of a constitutional law professor. You're listening to The Village Celebration. Back in a moment.
Yes, nothing like taking a nice long stroll in the park early in the morning where the air is fresh and clean. Yuck, what is that? Smells like cigarette smoke. Do these people ever learn that there is no safe level to the exposure of secondhand smoke, and it leads to many serious illnesses like asthma, respiratory infection, and cardiovascular disease? I'm glad my children aren't with me. They could see other adults smoking and then pick up the bad habits themselves. A critical part of addressing youth smoking is to create an environment where tobacco use is not considered the norm. Parks and trails are all about clean air, natural beauty, and engaging in healthy activities. More importantly, kids should be able to play without being directly exposed to the harmful effects of secondhand smoke. And let's not forget, cigarette butts all over the place, they're the most common form of litter, and they don't decompose. This message is from the Arkansas Department of Health, Stamp Out Smoking, and the Future Builders Incorporated Tobacco Prevention Program.
Stretch your tax dollars at Butler Furniture Depot and celebrate our 10-year anniversary sale. Biggest sale ever. Use our no credit check purchase plan with instant approval up to $4,000 with no money down, with 90 days same as cash. 1 month on the job, $1,200 a month income, and an active checking account. Congratulations, you're approved. Free layaway still available. Call 945-1222 for details and directions.
The recent events in our country have created a grassroots effort to reallocate assets in a way that sustains and supports the African American community. Some are calling this movement Making Black or Move Our Money. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce, or USBC, and Liberty Bank have partnered to offer a credit card with a 9.9% interest rate. The U.S. Black Chambers and Liberty Bank, working together in our community. For more information on the credit card, visit libertybank.net/affinity. Use promo code USBC.
Man, I feel fantastic tonight.
Hey, what's your number?
Wow, didn't know I still had it. But you know what? I'm married.
No, not your phone number. I'm interested in your health. What is your cholesterol number?
My what?
Your cholesterol is a type of fat found in your blood that can put you at risk for heart disease or stroke. There are two types.
Why should I care? I mean, I feel great.
High cholesterol doesn't make you feel bad, but it can kill you. Heart disease is the number one killer in Arkansas and the U.S. Keeping your levels healthy is the first step at living longer.
You know what? I definitely want to be around to see my kids graduate.
Ask someone you love, what's your number?
Your health should be your priority. Take control. Go see your doctor and ask, what's your number? This message is brought to you by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission.
It has not been a full month since President Trump took the oath of office and became the 45th president of the United States. In the weeks, though, that have passed, there has been a great deal of chaos. Perhaps one of the most revelatory incidents involves the resignation of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. We are joined by University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff instructor Henry Brooks. political scientist that you are, what does this situation with Michael Flynn tell us? I mean, aside from this cozy relationship with the Russians, what else can we learn from the way Trump handled the situation and the fact that it appears that Vice President Pence knew nothing about what was happening?
I think it can tell us, number one, that despite President Trump's discussions about extreme vetting of Muslim immigrants, he has not taken time to vet his cabinet or his nominees or his appointments, his appointees. Also, it tells you how he runs his White House. I mean, he is not only the president, and a lot of presidents rule their White House with an iron hand, at least because that's their inner circle. Trump chooses his people around him based on loyalty as opposed to competence. And not that Flynn necessarily wasn't competent, but it shows how disconnected they are within the White House, within the power structure. I mean, we know that the vice president found out about Flynn not telling him the truth from the media, even after the Justice Department and the FBI informed the president that this was the case. I mean, they didn't call the vice president down the hall and say, you know, this is what's happening. So there's a very large disconnect between the individuals in the White House, almost like a company. I mean, where you have different offices and people need to know different things at different times, as opposed to everyone understanding and being on one accord as to what's coming out of the White House.
And just like in companies, it appears that in this White House there is a pecking order.
Yes.
And the vice president is not high up on that list. And so it makes you wonder, what exactly is the vice president's role in President Trump's White House? And is there some bad blood from the campaign? Exactly what is going on? And then let's talk about this. Because we know the president values loyalty, did he know that Michael Flynn had regular conversations with the Russians?
That second question is very interesting. The first question, is there bad blood? I think we have to understand that Pence was brought on to the campaign mostly because of his stance on LGBTQ rights and abortion. I mean, and
that was for the far
exactly.
Right.
That was their. This guy is stable. He knows government, and he is a conservative. I don't necessarily think they've ever been. They're not friends. I mean, they're not Biden and Obama, and in so many ways,
that just has such a nice ring. Excuse me, Biden and Obama.
They're not that pair. But the fact that, like I said, the fact that the vice president found out about Flynn from the media and not from the president, not even from his own advisors, because they didn't know, because the president found out and told, didn't mention it. But the bad blood, what you mentioned during the break, we were talking about how after the video of...
where Trump talked about grabbing.
Grabbing, right, exactly. Pence scolded him publicly.
That's a good word for it.
You know, he scolded him publicly, along with several other people, and that was not something that would endear you to the president. He doesn't take kindly to criticism. He sees it as being disloyal, and to a person where loyalty is everything, that's a big blow to a relationship like that. Second question about did Trump know that Flynn was talking to?
It brings up that old Watergate question. What did the president know, and when did he know it?
Because you think about what happened. The first time we actually started hearing about the Russians was during the emails, when Trump actually made the statement, you know, hey, Russia, there's 30,000 emails missing. Can you get them? And then he talked about WikiLeaks. Now, this is before any of this other thing came out.
And why wasn't there an outrage at that point?
I think because people were drinking the Trump Kool-Aid. I mean, in all fairness, I think we as Americans got so far into or so disgusted with the way politics was being run. Part of it is part of it is the fact that we elected a president who incited so much hatred amongst mm-hmm. population and was divided and further divided our politics into right and left, you know.
And so do you think this is an overcorrection?
Yes.
As a result of having an African-American president in the office for 8 years?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's several different factors that led to Trump being elected, but undeniably, one of them is that we had a young African-American president who was, for the most part, I mean, who was scandal-free. I mean, some of the policy things that didn't work out quite like he wanted to, but that's every presidency. But he was scandal-free.
So there was
really nothing that they could target and, you know, shoot at him. And this was overcorrection. We get, you know, he was, President Obama was very intellectual. I mean, he was very thoughtful about everything he did.
And measured.
Very measured. That's the word. He was very measured about everything he did. And people saw that as a weakness. They saw it as his willingness to compromise, his willingness to negotiate, his willingness to push and use Secretary Clinton in diplomacy. He was high on diplomacy. I mean, he was also high on using drones instead of soldiers, and he got a lot of criticism for that. But he believed in diplomacy, and a lot of people saw that as a weakness. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of people want America to be a country of might, and that we use military might to get what we want around the world, and that's not the way the world works. Mm-hmm. You know, so I do think that it's to some degree, I don't really believe in coincidences. Mm-hmm. So, especially not when it deals with politics. I think there's the fact that the Justice Department said that Flynn had this conversation, and you look at the number of ties between the Trump, his operation, and Russia. There's too many connections there for that to have been a coincidence, and for them not to have had that conversation, or for Flynn to have felt comfortable enough having that conversation, and it not have been outraged. The president not been outraged when they found out.
Absolutely. So it really does raise the question: did President Trump approve these calls?
Exactly.
And I think that will end up the center of an investigation. Right now, they're talking about investigating the leaks.
Right.
As they relate to this information and the calls that Michael Flynn made. But I believe in the end, it's going to spin around and the spotlight will focus on President Trump. And did he authorize Michael Flynn to make those calls?
And I think what happens is, you know, typically in government, you know, you have the mechanism of plausible deniability where Flynn may have had these conversations separate from maybe he and the president have discussed how the president feels about this issue, and that would separate him from Flynn having that conversation. And I can still see that happening. The problem is this information about Flynn having this conversation came from the Justice Department and came from them actually having tape or having surveillance of the call. And so it's difficult to tell. It's difficult to have that deniability or to claim that deniability when there's audio evidence.
That's very difficult to do.
So,
as a political science, when you look at the president's relationship with the intelligence community, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts?
He's taken some time to try to mend that relationship. I mean, during the campaign, he said, "I know more than the generals. The intelligence community has failed us. You know, we don't." And the intelligence community, I mean, there are a lot of hardworking people some of people who are operatives, they put their life on
exactly.
the line.
Exactly, they risk their lives.
Just to get information
around the world.
To give to the president. And I think he's attempted to mend that. I don't know how they feel about the president, but I mean, they're bureaucrats. So they change with the president. But to have a sitting president openly attack that community and say that, you know, what they do is not useful, or even today he was talking, or yesterday he was talking about the illegal leaks coming from the intelligence community and the Justice Department.
Again, attacking the intelligence community and the media. How would you put the wheels back on this train, this wagon?
I don't think this thing has wheels. I think this is a sled. So it moves as fast or as slow as the terrain it's on. You know, it's you know, whatever's happening. Well, and I say that because they don't necessarily have, they're not operating on any type of theory. They're not operating on any type of program or method.
Is it fly by the seat of your pants?
It's all fly by the
seat. Reactionary, whatever crisis arises this day, we deal with this today.
Exactly. So when you're walking around in, you know, when I was younger, you put your dress shoes on, you used to, you know, run and slide across the floor and this and that, you know, however slick the floor was, that was increased your risk of falling. And I think that's where they are now. It's however slippery the ground that they tread on is. So there are no wheels on this thing. I mean, and that's scary.
It is. And I think Americans, you tell me what you think, because mm-hmm. you have more expertise in this, but I think Americans are starting to feel like this is a sled.
Mm. Yes.
And we are slip sliding.
They are. And, you know, what's interesting is you've heard a lot of people who supported Trump. And, you know, I was watching, had a class, and we were talking in the class about individuals in West Virginia. A lot of these places where the companies left mm-hmm. and moved overseas and moved to Mexico. And a lot of them said, you know, I voted Democratic for years, and I voted Trump this time. I didn't vote Republican because he said he was going to bring back the jobs. Unfortunately, like I said before, a lot of people don't do their research and understand the power of the presidency. And so for them, it was a promise that, you know, despite everything else that he'd done, they were voting for him. Now, my problem with that is, and I understand their concerns, because their towns were devastated when jobs moved away. But they didn't understand. They don't understand how the government works. And also with Medicare and with Obamacare. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, you know, the ACA or what do they call it in Kentucky? The Connect. Mm-hmm. Kentucky Connect. That is essentially just Obamacare. It's mm-hmm. the exchange. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they vote to get rid of Obamacare because that's what they're saying in the bubble. They didn't realize that it affected their insurance.
Exactly.
And even people with company insurance, now their children are on there till they're 26, the pre-existing conditions.
I still don't understand how that happened, though, how you can vote for someone against your own self-interest, and you vote against your own interest.
I think part of it was a backlash for Obama. Mm-hmm. I mean, and part of it was, you know, they needed, and I hate to say this, but a lot of people needed that strong white male back in office. They needed that figure back in office. And, you know, who talks stronger than Trump? You know, who can do more than Trump?
He talked a big game. He talked a strong game. What's going to happen to him when the Republicans abandon ship?
I think they're going to abandon ship soon. I mean, I watched John McCain, Senator John McCain from Arizona, talking, and he just looks disgusted every time you put him on camera, because Trump's not a Republican. Mm. I mean, Trump is Trump. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He used to be a Democrat. He even mentioned once before, there was some, you know, I don't know if it's been verified, but mentioned that if he were to ever run for president, he would run as a Republican because they'll believe anything I say. And I think there's some truth to that, mostly because a lot of people live in those bubbles. A lot of liberals and Democrats live in bubbles too. But he understood that he could fire them up with some of these whisper, you know, dog whisper words that would invoke, you know, mm-hmm. racism and homophobia and these mm-hmm. things. And he knows that they would vote for him no matter what the issues were.
And it worked.
It worked.
And yeah. Here we are, 3 weeks, almost 4 weeks mm-hmm. into his term, and
the news is busy.
Yes.
It's impossible to keep up. One of the a professor wrote on Facebook the other day, he wondered what people did during Watergate, because right now, well, and plus we didn't have a 24-hour news cycle or internet, but it's impossible to take your eyes off the news because you're going to miss something. I mean,
that is so true. It has become a reality show, unfortunately. You'll have to come back and talk with
us
again.
I will, definitely will.
Thank you so much, Henry Brooks from the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. When we return, we talk with Dr. Diane Marshall. We're getting healthy in the village.
Get ready for the 13th annual Mid-South Summit Black Expo, honoring Black History Month. It's all happening Saturday, February 25th at the Metroplex Event Center, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Enjoy food, fun, and entertainment for the entire family. And entrepreneurs display your product to thousands in the Central Arkansas area. Become a sponsor or vendor and take your business to the next level. For vendor and sponsorship packages, call 501-891-1790 or info at timmonsarts.org. And if you are an entertainer or dancer, here's a great opportunity to strut your stuff. That's 501-891-1792 or info at timmonsarts.org. We'll see you Saturday, February 25th for the 13th annual Mid-South Black Expo.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Stretch your tax dollars at Butler Furniture Depot and celebrate our 10-year anniversary sale. Biggest sale ever. Use our no-credit check purchase plan with instant approval up to $4,000 with no money down, with 90 days same as cash. 1 month on the job, $1,200 a month income, and an active checking account. Congratulations, you're approved. Free layaway still available. Call 945-1222 for details and directions. Butler done it. Butler Furniture Depot.
February is not only Black History Month, it is also Heart Health Month. Let's talk about keeping your ticker healthy. And joining us is Dr. Diane Marshall. Dr. Di, thank you so much for being with us. You just finished working out.
I just finished a workout, Vicki. I'm so glad to be back in the village.
We are so glad you're here.
To kick off 2017, and what better month to do it than February?
So let's talk about the heart. We hear all the time that heart attacks for women present differently than for men. What are the major differences?
Most women, typically men will present with chest pain, usually chest pain that radiates to their neck, radiates to their left or their right arm. In women, it might be a different feeling. They may complain of feeling nauseated, something just not quite right. They may complain of back pain or shortness of breath. They could have pain that radiates to their left, their right arm, but or abdominal pain. So it's a little bit different. So women typically get to know their bodies really well. And if you have one of those warning signs, especially if you have high blood pressure, diabetes, or a family history of a heart attack or stroke, don't ignore them. Don't ignore them.
So where is high blood pressure in the heart attack continuum? Is that on the front end? Is it an indicator or precursor?
It's definitely on the front end. One of the things that a lot of people ignore is going to their doctor to just have a regular blood pressure check. Again, it's why we call it the silent killer. It's silent killer because most of us will feel perfectly normal as we're walking around with high blood pressure. And so what it does is that it causes the heart to overwork and thereby damaging the heart, damaging the muscle structure of the heart, as well as the arteries. So it doesn't take much. Just go in, get your blood pressure checked, and make sure it's okay.
This month in particular, we pay attention to our hearts, but we need to do that year-round. What is the single most important way to protect your heart?
I don't know if I can tell you a single way. Mm-hmm. I can tell you ways to make it better. But I'll tell you, the best thing to do, number one, is get out and exercise. Let's just do that.
Okay.
And if there's another thing that people can do, if they have a bad habit of smoking, stop smoking. Smoking causes more damage than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Not only lung cancer, but diseases of the heart, diseases of the blood vessels in the legs, so people get pain when they walk. If you're a smoker, you can stop smoking. If you're not exercising, please just commit to 30 minutes a day for 3 days a week. Right now, just 3 days a week. And then as you get used to it, go ahead and increase it so that it eventually becomes every day of the week. It becomes normal for you to get up and exercise.
You know, we see a lot of people these days wearing devices that count the number of steps, help you exercise throughout the day. So when we say 30 minutes, it's not necessarily a concentrated 30 minutes. You can do 10 here and 10 later in the day, can you not?
That's right. You know, studies have found that 10 minutes a day, three times a day, is as effective as 30 minutes in one single exercise routine. So you're absolutely right. So if you can just at least commit, everybody's got 10 minutes a day, right? You know, you can do 10 minutes a day by parking far away from the grocery store and walking in and walking back. There is 10 minutes that everybody could find at least three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
But get it in. And at minimum, what you want to do for heart health is at least 10,000 steps.
You know, I've started taking the stairs at work, and by the time I get to the third floor, I am winded. But I really believe it's making a difference because I take those stairs at least six times a day.
Oh, see, that's good. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And you know what I also like to tell patients or encourage them is that as you're getting older, you don't want to give up exercise. So if you start young and you keep it up, you will do well into your 70s, your 80s. It keeps you limber. It keeps your balance. You're less prone to falls because you're keeping your muscle groups toned and in check.
So that's
continue
inspiring.
To exercise. That's the single most important thing.
To remain vibrant into your 80s and your 90s, I'm inspired already. What about our diet? What about eating well and eating foods that have omega-3s, like avocados and fish once a week and all of that? You know, I miss my hamburger, but I'm doing those other things.
Well, and you know what, Vicki? Like I tell people, you don't have to give up everything. It should be everything in moderation. If the goal is to lose weight, you certainly need to give up some things. But then once you get the weight under control, you can have your hamburger every now and then. Just don't eat it every day. Certainly foods high in omega-3, such as your avocados, your olive oil, you want to do those. Those provide a certain health benefit. The amount of carbohydrates that you eat. I know nutritionists say don't exclude any food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to encourage people to exclude it, but if you're going to have carbs, you want to pick the healthy ones. And what are the healthy ones? The ones that are found naturally in fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the carbohydrates that you can have and probably an unlimited supply of. But most of your processed carbohydrates, stay away from them. If you're going up and down the grocery store aisle, you know those are bad. Shop around the perimeter of the store, and I guarantee you can stay healthy.
Well, this is my last question. If you are dipping your carbohydrate in olive oil, it doesn't count, does it? Like if I'm dipping hot bread in olive oil, well, that's not exactly healthy, right?
If it's carbohydrate from, let's say, asparagus, you are putting in.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Not what I had in mind, Dr. Dye. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. I have enjoyed it, Vicki. Thank you for having me.
We'll talk again soon. You're listening to The Village Celebration.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Get ready for the 13th annual Mid-South Summit Black Expo, honoring Black History Month. It's all happening Saturday, February 25th at the Metroplex Event Center, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Enjoy food, fun, and entertainment for the entire family. And entrepreneurs display your product to thousands in the Central Arkansas area. Become a sponsor or vendor and take your business to the next level. For vendor and sponsorship packages, call 501-891-1790 or info at timmonsarts.org. And if you are an entertainer or dancer, here's a great opportunity to strut your stuff. That's 501-891-1792 or info at timmonsarts.org. We'll see you Saturday, February 25th for the 13th annual Mid-South Black Expo.
If you're like me, always on the go without the time to constantly detail your car, then you need to try Miracle Glaze products. Miracle Glaze is the world's best tire shine. It's water resistant and guaranteed to leave a glossy finish on tires that last for weeks. Just spray, let it dry, and you're good to go with a non-drip, non-slinging look people can't help but notice. If you're really trying to make a statement, complete the look with the Miracle Glaze Wash and Wax. You can get yours at MiracleGlaze.com. HHM.com or call 501-454-6630. Miracle Glaze, it's the pro's choice.
Pick up some today. Non-sling Miracle Glaze, super gloss tire dressing.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Village Celebration. We hope you will have a chance to visit the Quindaro Ruins. And if you don't have a chance to go to Kansas to take a look at this entry point for escaped slaves from Missouri and other points trying to get into Kansas, which was a free territory, you can always visit them online. We want to thank Trish Schurkamp from the Wyandotte Historical Society Museum for joining us. We also want to thank Henry Brooks, instructor at the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff, for joining us to talk about politics in the nation's capital and the Trump administration. And, of course, Dr. Diane Marshall, encouraging us to keep our hearts healthy. Until next time, take good care, and we're glad you're in the Village. I'm Vicki Newton.
The contents of this broadcast are the exclusive property of the Village Celebration. Any duplication, rebroadcast, or any other use is strictly prohibited, and it is not permitted without the express written consent of the Village Celebration.